The meeting of the Board of Regents, State of Iowa, for February 27th, 2012 will come to order. I will begin by calling the roll. Regent Carroll?
Present.
Regent Downer? Regent Downer? Regent Evans?
Present.
Regent Harkin?
Present.
Regent Johnson?
Present.
Regent Miles?
Present.
Regent Mulholland? Regent Rastetter?
Present.
Regent Lang is present. We should wait to get Regent Downer?
Yeah.
Okay, Regent Downer is here. I'd like a list of the others on the call representing the universities and the K through 12 schools in any order.
Iowa State University, Warren Edmond and Ames in the President's Conference Room representing Iowa State.
Thank you.
Jean Prickett in Council Bluffs representing the Iowa School for the Deaf.
Thank you, Jean.
Patrick Mantee representing Iowa Braille School.
Thank you, Patrick.
Justin Rieg also representing Iowa Braille School in Vinton, Iowa.
Okay. Who else?
Ben Allen, University of Northern Iowa. And here at this meeting we have, as I mentioned, Regent Johnson, Provost Gloria Gibson, Dean of College of Education, Dwight Watson, Vice President for Student Affairs, Terry Hogan, Vice President for Administration and Financial Services, Michael Hager, Special Assistant to the President for Federal Relations, Pat Gettleman, Dr. Gettleman, and we also have Dr. David Stokes, Superintendent of Cedar Falls School District, and Dr. Gary Norris, Superintendent of Waterloo School District.
Thank you very much. University of Iowa?
Mark Braun, Doug True, and David Drake.
Thank you very much.
Todd Stewart as well.
Thank you, Todd. Have we missed anyone? We have a quorum and the meeting can proceed. Before we start the meeting, I would like to make some brief remarks. Before the board begins its consideration of the recommendation in the agenda item, I would like to first extend thanks to the countless number of Iowans, students, parents, teachers, alumni, and community members and others who have expressed to the board their thoughtful and passionate views about the Price Laboratory School at UNI. We have read your emails, listened to your phone calls, and watched in the news and social media your many efforts in response to President Allen's announcement last week. Your outpouring of strength and concern is a great testament to the university. As we begin our meeting today, it is important to accept two critical realities. First, these are difficult times at the University of Northern Iowa. State budget cuts of recent years have provided enormous challenges at the UNI, and President Allen has responded by making difficult choices in the name of high quality programs, operational efficiencies, and sustaining the excellence of the university. While both the Board of Regents and President Allen are extremely proud that Iowa students represent 92% of UNI's enrollment and that currently 75% of UNI graduates are working in Iowa, the low percentage of non-resident students substantially hampers the university's revenues. This has been an ongoing challenge for President Allen. The second reality that despite the tough times at UNI, President Allen is committed to keeping the university sustainable and strong. He has proven that he has the critical vision to balance innovation with fiscal responsibility. He will continue to pursue alternative and innovative models to strengthen the university despite serious funding limitations. Ben is committed to retaining and enhancing UNI's status as a leader in education, regardless of budget restraints. President Allen is an outstanding president. He is leading the university in a manner consistent with the expectations of the Board of Regents and the expectation of Iowans. Once again, this includes his emphasis on high-quality programs, cost-effective operations, and sustaining the university's excellence. This is at the core of President Allen's recommendations unveiled last week. Whatever the outcome of today's vote, President Allen will need critical time to make necessary adjustments before the fiscal year ends on June 30th, With that in mind, the board has called the meeting today. We are at a critical point for you and I, and neither Ben Allen or President Allen nor the board has all the answers. However, the board has full confidence in President Allen and his continuing commitment to hard work and the difficult, strategic, and courageous decisions that lie ahead. The future of the University of Northern Iowa is in excellent hands. At this time, I would like to recognize President Allen for his presentation.
Thank you, President Lang. The University of Northern Iowa is strongly committed to being the premier pre-K through 12 higher education institution in the state of Iowa and among the best in the nation. In my installation speech in September of 2006, I emphasized the importance of this priority. I noted, quote, "We must have UNI positioned to be the leading academic institution in the state of Iowa for pre-K through 12 issues. The University of Northern Iowa must be unchallenged on its leadership on issues related to pre-K through 12. If we are not in that position, we must assess our position and determine priorities and strategies to be in that position," unquote. Since 2006, much of my focus has been on elevating our pre-K through 12 academic programs. Working with administrators and faculty across campus, but largely with the administrators and faculty in the College of Education, we have taken steps to ensure that UNI is the leading institution on pre-K through 12 issues. Let me provide several examples. For the first time since the university has had a strategic plan, which is about 20 years ago, the priority of being the leader in pre-K through 12 education was made one of the six goals of the university plan, which was approved by the Board of Regents. Secondly, we worked to position UNI to be the lead in the Iowa Mathematics and Science Educational Partnership, which, as you know, involves a collaborative effort with the University of Iowa and Iowa State University. We also worked with the Dean of the College of Education and the UNI Foundation to establish the Richard O. Jacobson Center for Comprehensive Literacy, funded by the largest gift in the history of the university, $11 million gift from Mr. Jacobson. We've also invited national and state speakers to campus to focus on education policy and the need for education reform, including U.S. Secretary Arne Duncan, former Governor of Colorado Roy Romer, and former Director of Education for the state of Iowa, Judy Jeffrey. Further, we've been working very closely with current Director Glass. I am making the recommendation that the Board of Regents, State of Iowa, approve the university's request to close the Malcolm Price Laboratory School effective June 30, 2012. For many years, the Price Lab School has provided an excellent education for pre-K through 12 students, as well as supported clinical experiences for our teacher's education program. It is one of the few remaining laboratory schools in the country supported by the university. Several times over the years, the question has been raised about the continuation of the Price Lab School, most recently in year 2002. We have come to a point now, as have many institutions, where it is no longer financially feasible for the university to operate its own school and subsidize instruction for elementary and secondary education. The per pupil cost far exceeds that of the school districts in the state. Class sizes in many grades are significantly less than one finds in school districts, and there are legal constraints with limited opportunities for growth. The financial issue is exacerbated by an aging building, which the consulting firm Perkins & Will estimated would cost more than $30 million to replace. Best practices call for pre-service students to have a range of clinical experiences in diverse settings to prepare them for what they will realistically experience once on the job. We began using an alternative model 3 years ago with a professional development school embedded in both the Cedar Falls and Waterloo school districts. The university is committed to replicating this model and expanding a network of partnerships with local school districts to provide an outstanding array of clinical experiences.
This will also provide an opportunity for us to develop alternative models in scheduling and supervision. I recognize the uncertainty surrounding the future of the laboratory school creates real anxiety for students and their parents, as well as our university students, faculty, and staff. I want to assure everyone that we are committed to providing support necessary to make the transition process as smooth as possible. The Price Lab School has had a rich history and impacted the lives of many, and the sense of loss is not to be minimized. I do want to address more specifically the concerns expressed about our ability to use a distributed model or a professional development school model to accommodate the level two field experiences and part of the level three field experiences now being conducted at the Price Lab School, both a scheduling and quality standpoint. Joining me today are Dr. Dwight Watson, Dean of the College of Education, Dr. David Stokes, Superintendent of Cedar Falls School District, and Dr. Gary Norris, Superintendent for the Waterloo School District. Dean Watson will speak about his planning and the commitment to maintaining and enhancing the quality of the level two and level three field experiences. Dr. Stokes and Dr. Norris can address their commitment to working with the university to expand the professional development school model. This issue includes maintaining the integrity of the teacher candidate work sample construct, which is an essential part of the level two field experiences. We have an excellent group of teacher education faculty. They provide national leadership in a variety of settings. I am confident that together we can provide a successful transition and form an even better range of clinical experiences for our students. I'll turn this over to Dr. Watson.
With the possible closing of Malcolm Price Laboratory School, several students are concerned that this will affect the quality of their teacher education program here at UNI. As the dean, I want to honor the historical significance of the school, but I would be horribly remiss to state that the school was the foundational element of the teacher education program. As a former normal school, UNI's mission was to populate the state with teachers. Currently, we prepare 25% of the teachers in the state and 33% of the principals and superintendents. I came to UNI because of this 136-year history of preparing teachers. I came to UNI because the university had a strategic commitment to teacher education. I came to UNI because there were dedicated faculty who invested their professional lives in the care and preservation of effective teaching. With the possible closing of the laboratory school, the reasons I came to UNI still persist. Recently, the President, Provost, and I met with the superintendents of Cedar Falls and Waterloo, our two most proximal districts. We discussed the need to establish a demonstrative collaborative partnership that fulfills UNI's need for varied clinical experiences. As we completed the discussion, there was a determined commitment on the part of the superintendents to avail their teachers for intentional, connected, sustainable field experiences, guarantees placement slots based on UNI needs, committed to support the teacher work sample and the preparation necessary to engage their teachers in this process. The superintendents committed to accommodate schedules that will allow for proximal short-term field experience similar to the level two experiences at Price Lab School. They're committed to establishing a distributed model for clinical placement and supervision that will enable university-based faculty to work in schools to support practicing teachers and teacher education students. And they're committed to creating shared professional development and co-teaching opportunities for practicing teachers and university faculty in order to nurture the instructional ability of education students. I exit the meeting energized and enthused that what we were proposing would move us toward our premier aspirations. I've always believed that through adversity, there is opportunity. I came to UNI to situate our legendary program as the premier teacher education program in the state and the nation. With assurances from our collaborative partners, I'm even more committed to this aspirational intent and encourage your commitment as well as we journey together.
President Lang, I will invite both Dr. Norris and Dr. Stokes to add to those comments.
Okay, thank you.
This is Dave Stokes. I want to go back to the first year that President Al and I were in Cedar Falls. We came to Cedar Falls at the same time. And in that first year, Dr. Allen convened a task force to look at the Price Laboratory School and make recommendations. Albeit that the recommendation of that committee was split, one of the things that we did agree upon was the creation of a professional development school model to be implemented in Cedar Falls and Waterloo. One of the reasons that we did that was that the question came back to that task force of what if Price Lab would close someday, and would we be prepared to handle the field experiences of the preschool and those teachers. I can say that in the last 3 years of that professional development school model, we are very well prepared to expand that model, either as a PDF model or as a distributed model, and can very easily handle the number of pre-service teachers that we will have with especially the level two field experiences.
Mr. President and Regents, this is Gary Norris, Superintendent at Waterloo Community Schools. We look forward to expanding our partnership with the University of Northern Iowa. Waterloo currently employs about 840 classroom teachers, and a significant number of these folks are former Panthers that wholeheartedly support this institution. That combined with Dr. Stokes' 380-some teachers gives us over 1,200 teachers as possible candidates to expand our partnership versus the 50 teachers that are available at Price Lab. I just don't see, as Dr. Stokes, how this can't work. We are prepared to take our relationship with the university to the next level. We want a partner to provide UNI students with rich, authentic teacher preparation experiences. I'm confident that our teacher ed students and the great teacher ed faculty here at the university will always feel welcomed and supported in Waterloo. I am a firm believer, as Dr. Stokes, in the PDS model as well as the distributive model. I am committed to working with President Allen to assist UNI in staying and further expanding the vision to become a premier K-12 institution, teacher prep institution. And I assure you, Waterloo Community Schools will remain a solid partner. I, like Dr. Stokes, have had countless formal and informal conversations with President Ben Allen. Never at any time has he deviated from that mission or wavered from the commitment to have UNI lead the way around the country. In summary, Mr. President, Waterloo Community Schools will do everything humanly possible to make this a success.
Thank you, Dr. Norris, Dr. Stokes. President Allen, is there anything more you'd like to add at this time before I open it up for board questions?
Yes, President Lang, I would like to just make a few comments about the research and development.
Okay, good.
In fact, I'll close by saying UNI remains committed to the concept of being the research and development center for the state of Iowa. Authentic research and development endeavors also occur in a variety of settings. In that light, we will propose at a future Board of Regents meeting an alternative model at UNI for the research and development center created by the General Assembly. We envision an R&D model utilizing a think tank approach involving faculty and staff primarily from the College of Education, but also those involved in teacher education, but also faculty from other colleges not involved in teacher education. Critical research questions would be identified, and research would be conducted to inform practices and educational policy. Funding and arrangements would be established to allow and encourage visiting scholars from Iowa State and Iowa and many other universities, practitioners, Department of Education staff, and others to participate. The research and development initiative will be strengthened by locating in the College of Education and not in the Price Lab School. Expertise can be concentrated on research design, and flexible project-based teams can be assembled to address specific research questions in authentic settings in a wide sample of school settings across the state. We anticipate forming partnerships with selected school districts across the state depending on the nature of the issue or the research question. Research would be applied and embedded in classrooms working with teachers and students. The center would also serve as a clearinghouse for innovative and pedagogical techniques in curriculum design and development. Thank you, and I will entertain any questions you might have.
Okay. From the board members, are there any questions for any of the individuals on the call? David, would you like to start?
Sure. President Allen, Dave Miles here. A question for you as to the motivation for this recommendation. Trying to sort out, is this a better way to achieve the objective of having the premier K-12 higher education institution in the state or the nation, or is this a reaction to budget cuts, or is it some combination of both? And if it is, can you help us with that combination?
I think it's a combination of both, but the timing of it's impacted by the deficit that we had this year coming into the academic year. We had a $5 million deficit for the university. That is not insignificant, as you might expect. The provost is still working through maybe $800,000 of that, so that is one that will have to be dealt with moving forward. And so there's no doubt that the financial environment has created a need to make some or take some actions. But the more important motivation, the more important factor is the reallocations of these funds and the reestablishment of these funds in other areas of campus, in other areas of the College of Education, so that we can be stronger moving forward. We are deeply committed to teacher education. We believe these decisions, tough as they are, difficult as they are necessary to build a stronger future, to define our future as the teacher education program of the country.
Okay, thank you. Are there other questions from board members?
Ms. Regent Evans, could you comment on the transition plan for the students?
The transition plan for pre-K through 12 students or university students, Regent Evans?
Pre-K through 12.
Okay, yes, we will be working with the two individuals here in the room, Dr. Norris and Dr. Stokes. We've also been in consultation and communication with Director Glass, and we will have a plan that, because our focus is on those pre-K through 12 students, and we have we'll have meetings with them, and we'll develop a plan that will allow careful consideration of their request for the transfer. And Dr. Stokes can add to that.
Yeah, in Cedar Falls District, in the last couple of days, we've looked at the enrollment and done some projections in conjunction with our projections for next year, especially in our elementary buildings, where we will see the largest increase in enrollment. If all of the elementary students currently attending Price Lab would decide to come to Cedar Falls, which they probably won't, we have the capacity to accommodate all of those students. We will have to add some sections in some buildings and add some additional staff, but we have sufficient capacity in all our buildings to handle all of the Price Lab students if that's what they choose.
Okay.
This is Gary Norris from Waterloo. About 66 of the students are Waterloo students, and I would echo Dr. Stokes' sentiments. We have ample capacity in Waterloo to house those students should they choose to return to their home district.
Okay.
Thank you.
More questions?
If I can follow up on a similar question, only this time about the placements for the UNI students. And what I want to do is to try to get on the table a number of the questions that have been posed to us in the emails and make sure that I understand the answers. The suggestion has been made, and I'm sure Dean Watson has the exact numbers, but something in the neighborhood of 1,400 UNI students have field experiences, which is about 20,000 hours. And if Price Lab School is not there, then that has to be absorbed, and you've talked about it high level, but I think most folks would agree that teachers are already overworked and underpaid, and so the suggestion has been made time and again that our UNI students will not be welcomed in your districts and that it's simply too much to ask. Now, I note your point already that there are 50 teachers at Price Lab, and between the two of you, you have about 1,200. But nonetheless, I'd just like you to comment, Dr. Stokes and Dr. Norris, about our students coming into your districts and how you think they'll be received and what planning you've been able to do so far to make that be a positive experience.
Most important task as we plan to move forward with an expanded PDS or distributed model is to make sure the quality field experience that is currently in place remains. One of the significant differences between you and I and other colleges of education in the state of Iowa is the field experiences that you and I students receive. One of those key components is called a work sample, which is very much the daily planning or unit planning that a teacher does in their own classroom. That experience makes students a little bit more prepared in that regard than other students from other school districts. We're committed to making sure that all of the components that students currently have in their field experiences remain. With about 500 students in level two each year, as Dr. Norris has said, between the two districts, I feel confident we can provide for that. We've also had conversation with President Allen about additional financial support that he will provide to the PDS, including additional UNI supervisors and possibly, and we haven't fleshed out the details yet, but possibly either compensation in terms of stipend or release time for K-12 teachers to work with UNI pre-service teachers.
This is Gary Norris again. I concur with the things Dr. Stokes has said, and although we don't have an exact template to share with the Board of Regents today, we, in our meeting last week, Dean Watson and Provost Gibson and I and Dr. Stokes agreed that if and when the Board should make this decision, we will begin immediately with fervent plans to move forward. Our teachers in Waterloo have been very generous with their time in supporting the university, and I still believe they will continue to do that. I have no sign that they won't. The professional development model that you've heard about today is already in place in all of our schools. Many of our teachers are receiving some small stipends to help in the coordination, and as Dr. Stokes just said, President Allen has guaranteed us that the resources will be there, whatever we need to make this happen. And so I think our teachers will continue to benefit from this partnership.
President Lang, I'd like to have the Dean also join in.
Okay.
We received lots of letters from probably some of the same letters that you all received from students and concerned parents and others about the lab school. And when I looked at all the letters and the things that came out was that they want teachers who are going to work side by side with them while they're working on this critical signature assignment called the teacher work sample. The other piece that they want is some sort of proximal experiences that will fit into their instructional day. And they're looking for authentic classroom settings that will help them perfect their craft at becoming effective teachers. When I think about what the two superintendents are willing to commit to in these collaborative partnerships, I feel that we could answer the students' concerns. The one concern that is still on the table is those sort of proximal experiences. So we've had some comments about can we make sure that the Cedar Falls area, which is a little bit closer, focus on the level two experience and then use Waterloo for some of the other experiences so that the students can go in and do their hours of observation and clinical experiences and then go back to their classrooms.
Regent Miles, do you want more comment on this?
If you have any more.
Make one additional comment. This is Dave Stokes again. Both in Cedar Falls and Waterloo, we have a couple of our elementary school buildings that have special and specific relationships with faculty at UNI. Dr. Lynn Nielsen at Lincoln Elementary in Cedar Falls and Dr. Rick Trott at Lincoln Elementary in Waterloo. We will work to make sure that those relationships and the model that's currently in place in those schools is not negatively impacted by this change.
Okay.
When we talk about the distributed model, we're talking about putting faculty from UNI into the public schools to support the supervision of students as well as the placement of students. One of the current concerns about practicing teachers is finding the time to sort of supervise and place and model. And if we could offset some of those concerns by having our personnel in the schools, that would be very helpful. This sort of distributed model that we're talking about is part of sort of the national agenda, which is focusing on getting our students into these authentic classroom spaces, working in the schools, and having the university faculty and the practicing teachers sort of co-teaching novice teachers.
And President Allen, can you give us any more about the financial commitment that UNI is contemplating toward that end?
Yes, if you look at the financial commitment now for what we do at the two school districts, it's, I think, from at least from the central administration, from the provost office and my office, it's about $100,000. I think that would have to be leveraged up to some amount, not determined yet, but there's a lot of opportunities here because I think there is an issue about the faculty or the teachers in those two school districts getting some type of release time, getting some type of incentive to work with our students because of the quality issue is very important to us.
Okay. Are there more questions from board members?
President Lang,
mm-hmm.
This is Bob Downer.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, would like to fully endorse your very well-stated remarks at the beginning of this call. And with regard to President Allen and the efforts that are being made to solve some extremely difficult challenges, and I'm also impressed with what the other persons have said as to the manner in which they would seek to address the matter of the Price Laboratory School. My comment is going to come from a somewhat different direction, and I raise this reluctantly, but feel that from my vantage point I must do so, and that is I am concerned that with the Price Laboratory School being embedded by name in the Iowa Code, that there may be a question as to whether the board has the authority to close the school. And I guess what I would like to request is that an opinion of the Attorney General be sought in this regard and that the matter be considered at the March 21st meeting.
More discussion? Is there any other discussion?
It's very difficult to hear you. Is this better?
A little better.
I have a question for President Allen and or Dean Watson. And my question is, at this time or in the future, what will be the involvement of UNI faculty from the College of Education?
Let me start that, and then Dean Watson can add his comments. I think that one of the issues that has been a part of this conversation is the approach that I took in trying to come up with this very significant and difficult decision, and that is the lack of involvement of faculty in both the College of Education and the Teacher Education faculty in the other three colleges. It is clear to me that obviously that I did that for a reason of not generating fear and concern when we didn't go down that road and try to have a deliberate discussion, and I appreciate the critical comments that came back on that approach. Moving forward, we will have a transition team, if and when this is approved, a transition team that will be comprised of faculty and staff. It will deal with a myriad of issues, including those that came up earlier about pre-K through 12 students, our own university students moving to a different type of clinical experience, and also the faculty and the college about how those roles will change according to these changes. And so the provost and I are committed to the involvement of the faculty, and we know that for this to be sustainable, whatever is decided by the board, and we have to have the guidance and the input and the good thinking of the faculty. But I'll turn it over to Dr. Watson. He has his college perspective.
One of the opportunities that's afforded by this, if this decision is made, is an opportunity to revisit the professional sequence of our students and to look at the clinical practices that we already have and to see whether those we can align so that the clinical practices are more authentic and more robust and meet the needs of our students. So having these sort of conversations about this alignment is something that our faculty would be involved in. I also foresee that some of the teachers from the lab school, the tenured teachers from the lab school, being utilized in this sort of distributed model and being placed in some of the schools throughout the district to help support with supervision and placement. But also, there's the involvement of not only the College of Education, but the wider teacher education program. And the other deans is, as you well know, we teacher ed is distributed across all of the colleges within education, within the university, and the Teacher Education Executive Council will also have a part in making decisions about the future of the education program.
Katie, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I like to hear that it's also distributed across the university. That makes sense.
Okay, Regent Downer, your question was more like that I would see as part of the discussion on a motion. And so is there anybody else that wants to comment upon Regent Downer's concern? Is there any more discussion?
Yes.
You cut out.
Did I cut out?
Yes. Go ahead.
It's partly because my voice has laryngitis right now. I'm sorry about that. I don't have any control over that. But could President Allen briefly comment on how his vision of a new research and development model might be beneficial to school districts that are not located in the Cedar Valley?
Thank you, Regent Carroll. The concept that, again, we'll work with the faculty and staff here to flesh out, but this is where I think we could best help the state. Let me just kind of give you a little background. What I see here is, again, I mentioned here at UNI with collaborations with the other regents, other think tanks would be where a lot of the research designs and paradigms would be created. But we would then form partnerships with school districts, Council Bluffs, Carroll, Iowa, places where we often don't get to, and we can replicate type of studies that we need. For instance, we may do some research that will deal with the urban school districts, so we could have a partnership in Des Moines or Cedar Rapids. We could have one that deals with more suburban issues, and that could be dealt, it could be handled with a partnership with Linmar, for instance. And we have one for rural areas. You picked the spot. And a lot of areas in western Iowa are not well served by us now, I think, by having the Vice Lab School here. A lot of it is distributed, but it's done to a different manner. I think it provides a great opportunity to get more engagement and provide these services to more people across the state and deal with real issues in a very thoughtful way. I'm excited about the possibility of providing the R&D concept in a different manner.
And then as a follow-up to that, is there any intention involving newly formed Student Academics and Affairs Committee, of which Katie Holmes and Greta Johnson chair, in any of the finer details of this new research and development model that you're envisioning?
Well, we would take it to that board, to that committee, and get that vetted and get feedback and get opportunities for Iowa State and University of Iowa to have opportunity to help us on that. I think that's a great idea, and that would be the approach taken.
David, do you have any other questions?
I have some comments once, so we have a motion on the table.
Okay.
Nothing more right now.
There is a motion. Regent Rastetter.
Yeah, President Lang, I move to approve the request of the University of Northern Iowa to close the Malcolm Price Laboratory School effective June 30th, 2012, and to authorize the board president to notify the Iowa legislature and the governor of the board's actions. In addition, we request that President Allen provide a progress report on the closing of the school to the board's Education and Student Affairs Committee and the full board at the April 25th, 26th Board of Regents meeting.
Was the motion clear to the regents? Is there a second?
Regent Evans seconds. With the question, do we need to include the Attorney General, as Regent Downer noted?
Well, let's have discussion on that. It's our belief that we have this authority. Also, by the motion presented by Regent Rastetter, that this would be a notification by the board president to the Iowa legislature and the governor of the board's action, in which I believe that if they felt differently, they could take action upon. Jack, does that help?
I would yield to Regent Downer's comment.
Okay, more discussion?
I would prefer, I guess, to see the Attorney General express an opinion on this before the board takes action, rather than looking at the possibility of having to back up in the event that such an opinion would be contrary to action that the board had taken. It was my understanding from talking to Tom Evans this morning that one reason why the Attorney General's guidance couldn't be obtained on this at this point was because of some vacation time being taken by persons in that office. It would seem to me that in a period of just over 3 weeks, there would be the opportunity for that, and we could either go forward with a greater level of comfort, at least on my part, if it was said that this does fall within the board's authority, or we could potentially avoid a misstep. And that's my reason for going forward. It is not related to the substance of the action. I just, as I read some provisions in the Iowa Code, I have concerns about this. I think this is different from other departments that are not specifically referenced in the code. But as I read Chapter 256G, I believe there's at least an argument that can be made that contemplates that the Malcolm Price Laboratory School would be operated by the University of Northern Iowa. I may well be wrong, but having the state's lawyer weigh in on this, I think would be beneficial.
Go ahead, Tom.
Just a point of order. I think think that there needs to be a second for there to be a further discussion.
There was a second.
Well, Jack, was
by Jack Evans.
But he yes. made
but
a motion.
I'm talking about the motion.
Oh, the motion. Okay.
By Regent Downer.
Okay. There was not a motion by Regent Downer on that.
In that event, I will move that this matter be deferred for consideration at the March 21 meeting of the board, and that an attorney general's opinion be sought with regard to the contemplated action.
Okay, that is that a motion to table or defer? And if it's a table, it doesn't allow discussion. Tom?
I think that he's asking for it to be postponed.
You're right.
Until a later time. So I think that that's different.
Okay, so we'll
I think that that's different than a motion to table, and I think that you're allowed to have discussion.
Okay.
Motion to
postpone. So there's a motion by Regent Downer to defer until our next meeting. Is there a second? If not, the motion fails. So we're now back to the previous motion that was offered by Regent Rastetter. Any further discussion?
Yes,
David?
As to Regent Downer's point, which I think is a legitimate one, one potential, if this board wants to move forward today, is to make the decision, but stay any action pending receipt of an opinion from the Attorney General. That's another option. I'm not necessarily moving that, but I do have a lot of respect for Regent Downer's concerns about the law. So I'll just throw that out. Relative to the motion itself, I think all of us have spent a lot of time over the last few days reading and responding to emails, as you mentioned, and also to phone calls. And I ultimately come down in support of President Allen's recommendations, but not so because of the necessary cost savings he's identified, but because of his reaffirmation and Dean Watson's as well of UNI's commitment to lead the nation in teacher education, and his assurance that we will invest funds to better UNI's teacher education program. So it's really in support of the same end that we had before all of this arose, and I would be very distressed if that had changed at all. My understanding is that it hasn't. To those folks that have emailed us, I want to say that every one of your communications was considered carefully. I think a number of the questions that were asked, President Allen and Dean Watson and Dr. Stokes and Dr. Norris addressed in the beginning of this presentation, and I think they were very well presented. There were many heartfelt stories of multiple generations of involvement with Price Lab, and they were very clearly and civilly expressed. There's no question to me that there is something very special happening at Price Lab. And that there will be some loss in a decision should we take it in order to move forward. I know every regent will make their own decision about the wisdom of President Allen's recommendations, but I would be remiss if I didn't make clear that I'm influenced in no small measure by the fact that Ben Allen and his team made these recommendations. This has not been a smooth process. I think President Allen has said as much. But I know of no more selfless servant of higher education in this state than Ben. During his service, he's faced some of the most challenging financial circumstances imaginable. And throughout his tenure, he has found ways to do more with less and to challenge you and I to be the best that it can be. The steps that he announced last week with regard to the Price Lab School, I know are consistent with his aim of excellence for you and I. So I know there are lots of folks that disagree with this recommendation, but no one should doubt Ben's motives or suggest that he has come to these recommendations with anything other than his most earnest consideration of what is best for you and I, our students, and the people of Iowa. I'm also persuaded by Dean Watson's description of the need for more authentic and more diverse learning experiences for UNI education majors, and of the plan that has been presented to make this happen going forward, although I recognize it needs to be fleshed out. And I would just echo Regent Mulholland's statements there that it needs to be done so with through a very inclusive and transparent process. Right. Finally, and I appreciate the President's indulgence, I'd like to address those who continue their relentless efforts to strip Iowa's public universities of essential state resources. I am proud of President Allen's leadership and courage today, but those who think that improving the cost effectiveness of our universities is somehow new or novel have their eyes firmly shut. There should be no joy in the actions we're taking today, even though I think ultimately they will lead to a brighter future for you and I. Rather, this should be a wake-up call to the damage that ongoing cuts to our universities have already caused and to the threat that further cuts pose to Iowa's future. UNI's general fund appropriation has been cut 7 times since 2000 and is down 24% in just the last 4 years. Iowa State and Iowa find themselves in similar circumstances. All the while, the needs of Iowa's young people for quality post-secondary education expands each and every year. I thank the governor and legislators on both sides of the aisle who are seeking to restore funding to the region institutions, but I decry the short-sightedness of those who do not value public higher education in our state. It is time to stop the cuts before it is too late. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Regent Miles. Very well put. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll proceed to vote. Yes, I have the motion. The motion was to move to approve the request of the University of Northern Iowa to close the Malcolm Price Laboratory School effective June 30th, 2012, and to authorize the board president to notify the Iowa legislature and the governor of the board's action. In addition, we request that President Allen provide a progress report on the closing of the school to the board's Education and Student Affairs Committee and the full board at the April 25th and 26th board meeting. If there's no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote by roll call. Regent Rastetter?
Yes.
Regent Mulholland?
Yes.
Regent Johnson?
Yes.
Regent Carroll?
Yes.
Regent Miles?
Yes.
Regent Evans?
Yes.
Regent Downer?
Abstain.
Regent Harkin?
Yes.
Regent Lang votes yes. The motion is approved. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone who expressed their concerns to the Board of Regents on this issue. This was a very emotional issue. We understand that where you are today, but our promise is to provide you with the kind of resources that both President Allen and Dean Watson talked about. Thank you. Is there any further business? If not, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, David, you want